Hey, let's go answer the bell, huh?
If we just know what we're doing, work at it, and concentrate and do it.
Let's go, fellas!
What's up? Welcome into another episode of the Patriots Podcast. I'm Sean, and as always, here with JJ.
Hello.
James, how you doing, bud?
Doing well. Patriots are 4-0.
4-0. September's always the dangerous spot, but with the schedule that they were dealt this year, not that much to worry about. Maybe not until November.
Yeah, it's been a pretty sad, pathetic little run of quarterbacks and teams they've played in general. Some decent defenses, though. I will say that.
Well, this one in particular, they made their statement for a top five defense in the NFL. I'm talking about the Buffalo Bills. But the Patriots made their own statement as the number one defense.
Oh, yeah, we're just dominant.
We were listening to somebody rattle off the statistics for this defense the other day. They're first in points against, first in total yards, first in fewest first downs, first against the pass, first in allowing passing touchdowns with zero, first in interceptions with 10. Yeah, you heard me right.
It's 10 insane.
Interceptions to zero touchdowns in pass defense. Second in rushing yards allowed, second in rushing touchdowns allowed, which one. First in average drive time, first in average drive plays, first in average yards given up for drive. Per drive, first in average points given up per drive.
I mean, they've only given up 27 points. The next closest is the Bears at 45.
And
that's the next closest, and they are by far better than everyone else.
And
you got one of the Dallas is in the 50s.
Right, and that's in terms of all points given up by the entire team, which includes
right.
the 0.6, includes the special teams touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
That was given up against the Jets. The team's dominant. Josh Allen was abysmal. Some of that has to do with the defense being terrific, but when you can't hit a wide open guy in the flat like 5 out of 5 times, like 0 out of 5 times is how good he was throwing to a wide open dude a yard away from the line of scrimmage.
Yeah.
Yeah. It dude, was a rough go.
The net points we're at 95 right now. Plus 95.
Plus 95 in 4 games. We're averaging winning by, what is that, 24
insane.
Points a game?
That is insane.
Yeah.
No one's even close. I mean, for comparison, Miami's at minus 137.
Jesus. So Miami is worse than the Patriots are good.
Unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable. Yeah. The Josh Allen is really just, he's not very good. I mean, he's a big guy. He's got an arm, but he just can't throw to people. He's very inaccurate. He was sailing the ball over open receivers' heads. Not that it came too often, but he had chances. He had moments.
Yeah, and everybody knew he could make plays with his feet. Unfortunately, that bit him at the end of the game on the hit by Jonathan Jones. But leading up to that, it was all about keeping him in the pocket, keeping him contained, making him make accurate throws, and he was unable to do it. I was watching this... this video with Bill O'Brien. He was giving a coaching seminar, and he's talking about how do you pick a quarterback? And he goes, well, first and foremost, and don't laugh at this, a quarterback has to be able to throw the ball accurately. And there are a couple of snickers in the crowd.
Who said this?
Bill O'Brien.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. And there are a couple of people laughed in the crowd. And then you watch that game on Sunday, and you're like, well, Josh Allen he's unable to do rule number one. He can't throw the ball
right.
accurately. And everybody knew it coming out of college.
He can do probably 2 through 10, but he can't do number one.
Exactly. He looks like a quarterback. You're like, oh, he's got the strength and the size and the arm strength and this and that. And it's like, you need to be able to do number one. And he just doesn't have it. And it's too bad. I was sad to see that he got injured at the end. That was a bit of a scary hit. Johnny Jones, I don't think there was evil intentions or anything. I don't think he had bad intentions going into that hit. But he did make contact with his helmet against Josh Allen's helmet. And unfortunately, that got him hurt.
Yeah. I mean, Josh Allen just also put himself right out there.
Brady said it, too. He's like, look, if you're going to run around and take hits like that, you're going to take some bad ones.
I mean, what do you expect? I mean, there's guys in the middle of the field. You're running forward. I mean, good God, dude. Look for the slide or expect to get popped.
But that's his game. That's what makes him effective
right.
is that
and
he's 245 pounds
rude
and does that.
This is what's right. going to happen.
Yeah, it doesn't make for a healthy career, and unfortunately for Bills fans, I don't see him improving on the most basic aspect, which he hasn't been able to do in his collegiate and pro career so far.
Yeah, I think he's screwed. He's gonna have to rely on he's one of these quarterbacks, if they're going to have to run, he's going to keep getting popped. I mean, when you're out there, you're like a red flag to them. They're like, oh my God, we can hit him.
Yeah, and there's certain guys.
He's out there.
There's guys like Russell Wilson or Lamar Jackson that may have the athleticism to get out of the way.
Yeah.
He's more of like a Cam Newton type of guy where he's going to take hits when he takes off.
Mm-hmm.
And you see what's going on with Cam Newton right now. I mean, I don't know what's going on between his ears, but apparently his calf hurts. But that YouTube video was pretty scary.
Yeah.
When he dresses up like a cross between John Lennon and a leprechaun and tells you about how his foot is more injured than he expected.
And you released a YouTube video about it?
15 minutes.
It's like, what the definitely your agent was like, please do not do this.
Yeah.
Please don't do this.
There's no way the agent knew about it.
But anyway, so back to the Bills game. I mean, it was definitely a battle of defenses. We're playing in Buffalo, which their fans are nuts, as you can attest to. My brother was at the game. He said he couldn't believe how loud it was. And yep. Brady even said the Bills fans are nuts. I mean, he did come out and he did say that right after. So that affected it a little bit, not a lot, though. I mean, you got to give it to their defense. They played us first 4 weeks of the NFL. Go back the past 5 or 6 years, we always have at least one or two offensive blunders in September.
Yeah, totally.
Like absolute shit kickings by a like when we get a good defense in against us, we just get destroyed. It's offensive line. It's all kinds of shit.
It was a bunch of things, yeah. And having Julian Edelman was clearly being avoided. They didn't want to get him.
No, they were trying not to get him the ball.
And Josh Gordon doesn't look as fast as he could. And his appearance on the injury report today, we're recording this Wednesday night, it seemed apparent in the way that he was able to move out there, or really lack of move. Philip Dorsett was blanketed. They have a really good secondary. Tre'Davious White, Micah Hyde, Jordan Poirier. They got good players on the back end. And they were pushing people into coverage and running stunts up front. And our inexperienced or, you know, our offensive line that hasn't gelled at this point with all the injuries, they didn't handle the rush very well. Brady was extremely uncomfortable. And when you got seven guys in coverage on the back end with a lot of skill there, there's just not going to be any openings when Brady's trying to throw the ball inside of 2 seconds.
And also, Brady wasn't comfortable. You could tell from the moment they stepped on that field, he was not happy with he was not comfortable with the protection. His left tackle had missed 3 prior practices because of an illness, and is a fill-in anyways
right.
in Newhouse. So there's all that whole thing. The run game, they couldn't get that, so there was really nothing for him to rely on. I mean, you know, they're trying to get Sony going. He got 17 rushes, 63 yards. He had one decent run. You know, he doesn't look that good. I don't know what's going on. But he hasn't really been showing first round, second round pick type running back flash.
Not even like number one running back on your team flash.
No.
Like nothing.
I don't know what's going on.
Unbelievably similar to me. He looks very similar to Ben Jarvis Green Ellis. Where but Ben Jarvis was undrafted free agent. And you're fine with it. You're like, oh, this guy is essentially filling in here.
Right.
Whereas Sony was a guy that they went out and got and thought that he was going to be a feature. And let's be honest, he was tremendous in the playoffs last year. Losing Devlin's definitely a hindrance in terms of his performance. But you got to hope for more there. I mean, he probably had like 3 rushes that went for 40 yards and then another 14 that went for like 20. I mean, it was
right.
It was really not good. So many times he was stopped directly.
And there was a couple, I mean, yeah, the offensive line, as we've said, I mean, it's a work in progress still. It's week 4. They're still getting their shit together down there. And they always do. I mean, I've heard a lot of people talk a lot of stuff about, oh, it's terrible, what's going on. I mean, it's still a win, first of all. Second of all, 2016, when we played the Chiefs, our offense looked worse than that. It was the same type of issues. The offensive line wasn't going. The run game couldn't get going. Brady couldn't throw. What the fuck was going on? At least we won this game because we have a sick defense.
Yeah, that was 2014.
The game 2014.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. 2014. You're right. But that was week 4, you know, same right. situation, same exact, like that's what happens in September.
Yeah. It's to be expected. And luckily the defense was able to carry them. This is a perfect example, this game, of why they went out and tried to get Antonio Brown. And we haven't been on the podcast since they let him go. But they identified that they needed weapons on offense with Gronkowski retiring and Demaryius Thomas being older and everything else that goes into it. And so they went out and got Antonio Brown. Turns out that was a shit show. Cut ties with him pretty soon afterwards, which, I mean, personally speaking, I was pretty happy about. I hated seeing the headlines, Patriots, Antonio Brown. This
it was just, it was just getting too ridiculous at that point. I was like, all right, this guy clearly can't keep his shit together.
And the fact that he hasn't been picked up by another team
shows it.
That shows that everybody else is thinking the same thing. They're like, this guy is poison.
Yeah.
So he's out, but it still leaves open that need for another playmaker at the offensive skill position.
I feel like they've got the playmakers. I feel like it's really an offensive line thing and figuring out how, because I've heard a lot of talk about it and it makes sense. Andrews is a really good athletic center. He wasn't your standard. He was a really good pulling center and they pulled him a lot. And maybe Karras can't do it. And then they're all, you know, the other part was the tight end is the, you know, Izzo. If you watch the tape, he's getting held up at the line and getting in pulling guards' ways and stuff like that. So, you know, I think it's just a matter of this offensive line between the tight ends and the whole blocking scheme. They're running their same old run-in-the-mill. Hey, great, we got a great left tackle and a great center, and it's all going to a great blocking tight end. It's all going to work out. They're running these same schemes as last year, but hey, guess what? We don't have all those great blockers. You have to figure some other shit out because they can't do it.
Yeah, that's totally the case.
You know what I mean? I mean, Dorsett, when if you give him three, you know, enough time, he's open. We didn't want to go to Edelman. You know, between Edelman and Gordon, if they are hurt, maybe you do need another piece of the puzzle. But you got Harry potentially coming back in week 7. And I'd love to see if Myers can do anything.
Myers played a couple snaps and didn't do liggety split. He did nothing.
I wonder. Yeah, I don't know. Brady, I really think Brady was just uncomfortable because of the line.
Yeah, totally was. And the only thing that's going to change that is more reps together.
Right.
And possibly better bodies coming back, which is really just Isaiah Wynn. He's the only one that's coming back. It's not like they're trading for anybody that's going to be better than who they have out there right now.
And the dude Newhouse seems pretty serviceable. I mean, he's played. I feel like with some coaching, you can get it going. And I think it's so funny this year. Everyone's talking about like, oh my God, if we let Trent Brown go on, if we only had Trent Brown again, it's like, do you remember what we said in week 2 or week 1 about Trent Brown? We're like, we don't know if this guy's, he looks good. We don't know if he's going to be able to do this. He never played left tackle before. And he was benched the last time he played. He lost his job. So it's like, and everyone says, it's like, no, wait a second. Let's calm down. They just get a big, huge guy and they show him how to use their friggin' long arms, and that's what they do. They're good at it. Give it time.
Give it time. It'll come.
Exactly. But I'd love to see Michelle do more, man. He was the one that was disappointing me. It's like, he looked great in playoffs and preseason, and all of a sudden it's like, we're in the real game, and he looks nervous or something. It's like,
doesn't look confident.
Running nervously.
I only saw one play where he used his vision at all and had a cutback.
Right.
I mean, he's just running the play exactly as it's drawn up and just essentially running into people.
He's nervous is what it is. He's nervous, and it's not like, all right, just run. He's like, oh, my God, I have to do good. I haven't done good the last couple games. I really got to do good or I'm going to get benched by somebody else. Yeah. It's like, just fucking take a deep breath, dude.
Do you think that they're going to go out and trade for another receiver? Everybody's tossing around Adam Thielen.
Diggs,
Emmanuel Sanders could be on the block, which is somebody Belichick has shown interest in before when he signed him to a recent free agent tender.
I mean, I could definitely see us trading for someone. I kind of have a feeling that, I don't know, maybe if it could be Diggs, but those guys have a lot of money. And I don't know, guaranteed money too, so they'd have to do a restructure when they get here. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if we get someone who's a lesser name.
Yeah. Diggs was held out of practice today.
I saw that.
No reason anybody's come up with.
I mean, I could definitely see it, but I don't understand why you would do it from the Vikings standpoint. It's like, what are you going to get? Second? You think you get a first?
No, definitely not the first. No way.
You get like a third, maybe a second.
Bill would give you a third.
Yeah,
He doesn't trade seconds.
Third, maybe the Jordan Richards we just signed. You'd be like, I'll throw in Jordan Richards for you.
Oh my God. That's useless.
But that's the point. Like, what are you getting out of trading Diggs?
Mm-hmm.
Like, as a Viking.
They're not tanking. They're still trying to win games.
Right. I mean, they're in a decent, their division is wide open.
Yeah, it's only if he is disgruntled and causing problems in the locker room, in which case Bill is not going to give you a lot of assets for it. He's gonna bend you over. And I mean, somebody else might.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like the problem is their passing game, and they want to get rid of a receiver.
Yeah, that doesn't fit.
It's like, sure, we'll fucking love to take him, but why the hell? Like, what do you think? How's your team going to respond if you get rid of a fucking your top receiver? He's their number one, isn't he?
No, he's number two. Thielen's their top.
Still. I mean, do they have, and maybe they have a ton of depth behind them.
I don't know. They just re-signed Laquon Treadwell that they cut earlier this season because they've had injuries behind it and don't have the depth. So it doesn't make sense for the Vikings. I would love to have Emmanuel Sanders on this team. He is, I've had a crush on him since he was at SMU.
And they've been going for him for years.
For years, they've wanted him. And now the Broncos are just so bad that they should start selling assets for sure. There's no light at the end of the tunnel for that team right now. Joe Flacco's a joke. I mean, unless they're able to put in the kid from Missouri and he shows up as a good quarterback, which I believe he's on the IR. He's not going to come in till the second half of the season anyway.
Joe, it all rode on Joe, and he sucks.
Yeah, he stinks. So it'd be good for the Broncos to get something back for him. Yes, I'm talking to you, John Elway. Bring him in here. All right, we can't move on from this game until we mention some of the individual performances on defense.
I'm just going to say that, yeah.
Kyle Van Noy, AFC Defensive Player of the Week.
Yep.
Two sacks, led the team in tackles and solo total tackles and solo tackles. Was everywhere. Couldn't
be blocked. Two forced fumbles.
Yeah. Absolute savage out there. Jamie Collins gets another interception along with Devin McCourty, and J.C. Jackson gets a pair, including a gem along the right sideline.
Mm-hmm.
Defensive left sideline. I mean, they're ball hawks somehow.
I mean, we're playing terrible quarterbacks too, so that inflates it a little bit. But yes, I mean, a couple like J.C. Jackson had a couple of pretty impressive interceptions. He read the route, you know, and whether that's bad quarterbacking or not, that's, you know, he's reading that and picking it off.
Right. He shouldn't have thrown the balls, but he made the play.
McCourty has 4-4 games. I mean, two of them have been pop-ups for sure, but it's like, you know, he's in the right place at the right time. People aren't seeing him. He's doing his job. It's ridiculous. I mean, the defensive accolades they have. Jamie Collins is just unblockable up front sometimes. I mean, I feel like they've been holding Michael Bennett back a little bit, and once they let him loose, he's going to be, because he's always in the play when he's in there. I mean, it's just crazy how much pressure they're getting on. And we didn't even have Hightower in this game.
Right. Yeah. And that's probably why Frank Gore had a good game.
I feel like that is. Yeah. Hightower not being there in the middle. And Bennett is dealing with some kind of shoulder, so they held him out. I feel like those two are why Gore kept running. Gore is crazy, huh? That he can keep doing this.
Yeah. You wouldn't think his running style, which engenders a lot of contact, would make him last to age 36, but something about his pad level and balance and
he's all, doing it, man.
All the aspects to his game. Yeah, he's still really good. You mentioned Hightower being missing, which is a part of it, and Michael Bennett being held out the entire first half, which is a little sketchy that he played a decent amount in the second half, but none in the first half.
Was he definitely none in the first half?
I'm pretty sure it was none. I was looking for him.
Yeah.
I hope that wasn't disciplinary, but I haven't heard any rumblings, and he was on the injury report, so that's the most likely.
I think they held him out until they were like, shit, we might need you, get in there.
Right. Well, the team was up 13-0 in the first quarter, and then they were driving at the goal line, yeah. And Brady throws an uncharacteristic interception to Micah Hyde inside the end zone,
yeah,
from the red zone. So, yeah, they had it in control in the first half, and then things got a little bit tight in the second. But that's a common thread throughout everything we saw this weekend. I mean, you went into this weekend thinking, oh, the Chiefs are going to win for sure. The Rams are going to win for sure. There was a handful. Indianapolis is definitely going to beat Oakland. You're definitely going to have Houston at home beating Carolina with a backup quarterback. There was New Orleans. How are they going to go in and beat an undefeated Dallas team with their backup quarterback? And so many of these games got twisted on their head, and this is just exactly what we see every year in September football.
Mm-hmm.
You never know what to expect. And Kansas City came within an inch of their life. And what you and I both thought was a couple horrific timeouts by Matt Patricia, giving them extra opportunities inside the 5-yard line.
That was terrible. I don't know why he did that to himself.
Made no sense to me. We were watching the highlights the other day, and the Chiefs get the ball down to the 4-yard line, I believe. 30 seconds to go, clock running. They have one timeout. They're not calling the timeout. They're going to hurry up to the line and then what? Spike it with 20 seconds, maybe throw a fade pass.
Yeah.
With 20 seconds might be faster than they would have been able to do it. Instead, Patricia calls the timeout with 30 seconds to go, lets them get their substitutions, lets them get the play call in. They run the ball up the middle.
Brutal.
He calls another timeout.
Yeah.
And what do? They're like, I still got a timeout in my pocket. Like, let's just run it again. It's only second and goal from the 2-yard line.
Right.
And they just push it right in.
And they go up, they just ran it in.
It's like, instead of them having to hurry up and run a crap play on first and goal with a ticking clock at 20 seconds, now you're at 15 seconds. They have one timeout, second and goal from the 4. And now you're in a position of strength on defense. God damn it, Matt Patricia just really annoyed me. I didn't have money on the game. I was just mad at him.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. He could have beat the best team, one of the best teams in the league, and been undefeated.
Yeah,
he had it. Instead. People are gonna, whatever he did defensively, I think people are gonna hone in on that one. I mean, I guess he did still give up a decent amount of points. Still gave up 34, but that's, you know, it's pretty good.
This Chiefs team's good. Even in a bad game, they score 34 points, and they don't have Tyreek Hill, and he's back to practice.
Yep.
So they're a scary one looking forward, although they did give up 30 points to Detroit, and neither team could apparently hold on to the ball. Elsewhere,
dude, the Saints look, man, really good.
On defense.
They don't have Drew Brees, and their defense just held Dallas to 10. Love it. Love it. This is the year of defenses again, I feel like. It's awesome.
Could be.
Got some decent defenses.
There are a handful of really good defenses, and like you saw what Chicago did to Minnesota, where they basically shut them out until I think that touchdown came with 2.5 minutes to go. And Chicago didn't have Roquan Smith, their starting inside linebacker, and Akeem Hicks, arguably the second best defensive tackle in football. And they were still that dominant.
Yep.
That's a great unit they have there. I mentioned before Carolina going into Houston, and Kyle Allen pulls out the win. Houston just doesn't want to win the division.
Yeah.
It's like it's on a silver platter. Everybody else is playing with backup quarterbacks. I rate Marcus Mariota as a backup quarterback, despite the fact that he is the only quarterback this year to not have a turnover. Do you know that?
Really?
Yeah.
Taking that football.
Yeah, that's what he does, apparently, when he's losing games predominantly. But Carolina takes the win in Houston. And on the flip side of that, or I suppose going along with it, Indianapolis lays an egg at home against the Raiders. The Raiders are 2-2.
Yeah, Raiders are decent.
That team steals wins.
Yeah, I think they're, well, after week 4, the cream starts separating to the top. You know what I mean? You're going to, there's about 6 teams by week 7 or 8 that you're like, yep, that's them. And for 3 or 4 weeks, they're just going to dominate football.
All right, so who are those teams?
Well, we got the Patriots, obviously. The Chiefs.
Yep.
After that, it gets a little fuzzy. The Saints, depending on when Brees gets back. Because I don't think they can hold on doing this for that long.
They have another month until he gets back. And a lot of it depends on what teams they're playing week in and week out, even though they embarrass the Cowboys.
I think Seattle. I like Seattle, Dallas.
We're going to learn a lot about Seattle on Thursday Night Football when they host the Rams.
Oh, that's going to be a good game.
Yeah, it is.
Dallas. And then there's another, you know, one more. I don't know. Can, you know, it's tough. It's really, it's still week 4. It's really tough to see who's for real and who's full of shit. Like, can Minshew, like, keep it together, and are they going to keep winning?
Dude, that's not the team.
I don't know.
I hope they do keep winning.
Are the Browns going to keep winning? The Ravens have just dropped 2.
Ravens defense ain't good.
Ravens defense stinks, man. The Bears, I mean, what the hell? Nobody need, their quarterback situation's just up in the air.
They might have just gotten improvement.
The Rams just gave up 55 points.
Yep. You're missing the obvious one. The
Packers?
No, the Eagles.
The Eagles?
The team that just beat the Packers.
Yeah, probably. I don't know. I'm not too sold on them yet.
Dude, you should have seen the game on Thursday night. They were in control for the majority of that game, and the only thing that stopped them was Rodgers to Devontae Adams.
Really?
Yeah, that was an unstoppable connection, and outside of that, it just felt like the Packers were scratching and clawing, and the Eagles, it looked everything looked easy for them.
Really?
Yeah.
All right, so throw them in there. So there's one of them.
Yeah, for sure. We'll revisit that in a couple weeks, and we will nail down probably after week six. Mm-hmm. That might be the time. We should mention that Steven Gostkowski, who has been up and down primarily on extra points so far this year, apparently has a knee injury.
A hip injury. Hip injury.
He requires surgery, and he was placed on IR today, out for the year.
Out for the year.
How about that?
Fucked.
What do you think?
I think we're fucked. I think that now you're getting bottom of the barrel talent, sorry, and because it's week four and you're trying to get a kicker.
Yeah.
And you're getting the scraps, people that nobody wants. There's 32 positions filled, and you're getting the ones that didn't make the cut. So they're going to suck. Any game that we have that comes down to a kick, we will most likely lose. And that's frightening.
Yeah, it's a big problem in that sense. And when you talk about the final two kickers that they've brought in are Mike Nugent and is it Kaimi Fairbairn? I can't remember the other one. But
something like that. It's a weird name.
Guys that have been in the league for a while, they're washed up. I don't know exactly what. I mean, kickers can last a long time, longer than a lot of position players. But it's definitely going to be a downgrade. There's a reason that Steven Gostkowski makes as much money as any kicker in the league.
Yeah,
because he's damn good. And I know he's missed his share of big kicks, particularly extra points in the playoffs the last mm-hmm. few years. And that's frustrating, and the extra points have been an issue this year. He's only missed one field goal so far this year, but there's another underrated piece of his game, which is he led the league in touchbacks so far this year. And
right.
Now they got to find a kicker who, I don't know, I would lean towards somebody that's proficient at field goals instead of kickoffs.
No, 100%.
But you're not going to find somebody that's really good at both that's just walking around on the street.
Our punter, who has an absolute leg for punting.
He does.
We haven't mentioned or given him props yet, but he is pretty nasty. Apparently, he was a kicker in high school. He can kick.
Duh.
The guy can kick.
He kicks footballs for a living. Of course, in high school, he was the kicker.
But he was good. He was really good.
Yeah, I bet he was good. That's like saying... I don't even know. That's like saying the center, some backup center in the NBA led his high school team in scoring. It's like, yeah, of course he did.
All right. Well, it's worth saying. He might. That would be great if he could kick. One
that
position.
Would be great.
One position for two birds with one stone.
Yeah.
So yeah, like, I think we're screwed. But I don't know. Maybe Mike Nugent. Where was he again?
He was in Cincinnati after. Well, he was drafted by the Jets in the second round, and he blew horrible. Missed two game-winning kicks in a playoff game. And then his way over to Cincinnati and totally resurrected his career and was one of the best kickers in the league. One of the better kickers in the league for a while. I think he might have even made a Pro Bowl.
Boy.
But he's 37 now.
Oh, boy.
Ohio State product. Yeah, it's unfortunate. This team just continues to have injuries, and you wonder about how many can you really take. I still believe that they're the best team in the NFL, but that's only because their defense is so dominant. I mean, we just saw how human the offense is last week.
Yeah.
And in a league that also
one of those
has
years with
the
a
Chiefs.
Lot of injuries, man.
Yeah. Whew. It could be a big problem for them. So, Ghost is out for the year. This weekend we have the Washington Redskins. Patriots are traveling again to go down and face them, and I mean it's a joke. This schedule. Yep. They're going to Washington, then they're hosting the New York Giants, and then they're going to New York to play the Jets.
Oh my God, dude.
Rookie quarterback, Luke Falk. or potentially Sam Darnold.
It's probably going to be Darnold at that point.
Yeah, but I mean, Dwayne Haskins had three turnovers in one half last week when he was playing the Giants, and the Giants have a horrific so bad.
Yeah, like the worst they've had in years.
There's a reason Dwayne Haskins wasn't ready. Everybody knew going into the draft, look, Dwayne Haskins only had 13 career starts in college. It's like, this dude is going to take some time to get ready to play in the NFL. He's 21 years old.
Yeah.
And Jay Gruden knew it too. And for some reason, I wasn't watching the game. I was watching another game last weekend, but at halftime, just in the middle of the game, I don't know exactly where, but he puts Dwayne Haskins in the game. It's like, dude, you know your offensive line can't block anybody. Brandon Scherff's out. Trent Williams refuses to play for your team. And you put in the rookie quarterback who is, number one, not ready to read NFL defenses. Number two, probably doesn't have a great grasp of the playbook or how to audible or call protections.
And number three, showed it.
Yeah, and number three, the guy can't be protected. You got no offensive line.
Yeah, it's bad.
And he just totally stunts his growth. Jay Gruden's career there, he probably hopes, is going to be over soon. He's like,
Schneider has really just really spiraled out of control over there. They've had like one decent year since he's been the owner.
Yeah, and it was when RG3 was there.
Yeah.
As a rookie.
And then way back in the mid-2000s, they were decent. When they had like LeVar Arrington at linebacker.
Oh, shoot. Mark Brunell at quarterback?
Yeah, they were like decent for a year then, too. So bad. I mean, there's not a whole lot to talk about in this game because their team is just falling apart from the inside. Their head coach today, they thought Jay Gruden was going to get fired Monday. Okay?
Yeah.
And they were waiting for him to get fired. He didn't get fired. So then Wednesday, or yesterday or today, they ask him, today's Wednesday, Jesus. So they ask him today, they're like, what are you doing at quarterback? He says, I don't know. I don't have a plan yet. It's like, well, the game is in 5 days. He doesn't even know what to do.
Yeah, time to figure it out.
You'd think that maybe always just screwing with them, that like, he obviously has a plan. No. I honestly think that this guy's just like, you know what? We'll just see what happens on fucking Friday. I'll put one of these guys out here. Colt McCoy might play. Nobody even knew he was still playing. It's bad.
It's bad, yeah.
It's bad.
Look, the team is, they're week by week falling apart. They lose to the Eagles in week one by 5 points. Not a bad loss. Lose to the Cowboys in week two by 10 points. Not a terrible loss. Lose to the Bears in week three on Monday Night Football by 16 points, and it wasn't that close.
We're getting there.
Pretty bad loss. And last week, they score a total of 3 points against a horrific Giants defense, give up 24 to rookie Daniel. And now they're going to be facing the best team in the NFL this week. Sad state of affairs. They can't sell tickets. It's a bad team. I was looking around. The best player on their whole team is Trent Williams, and he refuses to play for them.
Who's next after that?
After that is, I mean, oddly enough, it might be this kid Terry McLaurin, the wide receiver from Ohio State. Outside of that, Brandon Scherff at right guard was a really highly touted prospect, I think pro.
Josh Norman just sucks.
Josh Norman's terrible. Everybody, listen. Josh Norman is all name recognition. That's it. Watch him play. He's god-awful. He grabs people, and when he doesn't, he gets burnt. That's it. That's his whole game. That and talking.
I'll look for that this week. That's one thing to look for this weekend.
Landon Collins is good. Ryan Kerrigan is solid, and Jonathan Allen's there. But this team is bereft of talent. They are
bereft.
Yeah. How do you like me now? They are. It's just a bad team. There is going to be a trouncing. I will once again predict that the Patriots do not give up an offensive touchdown, particularly if Dwayne Haskins.
Mm-hmm. What do you got the scores?
This defense is really bad. I'm going 31-6.
Oh, 35-3.
Dude, you always got to outpace me every time.
Yeah, well, what do you want me to do? These are hard games to pick because it's just like they're going to be a blowout. It's probably going to be a blowout. Last week we didn't pick the games, but I would have assumed a blowout. And it should have been at least 24-10.
Yeah.
But we blew it.
They did, yeah. They did. I had the Bills at 9. They scored 10.
Yeah. I mean, this is a great week of football. Looking at the schedule, I like a lot of these matchups.
There's a lot to like and a lot to dislike.
But you got some great ones. You can't watch them all. So,
Rams at Seattle is great.
Tomorrow, that's great. I mean, Jags, Panthers, love it. Obviously, we've got the Patriots game. Bills, Titans. I like that one, too.
Ugh, Titans are god-awful to watch.
Yeah, but like you just said, they don't have a turnover yet. The Titans, they're still there. They have they're doing all right.
I would say I bet big time on the Bills. And the Bills' defense is so good. They're going to shut down Tennessee. Mariota, if all you got to do is shut down the running game, and then Mariota's going to look like a deer in headlights.
You don't think the Bills are going to have any aftershock from facing the Patriots because they just only gave up 16 to the Pats? Here we ride. No. Okay.
No. I don't think it's going to be a problem at all.
Ravens, Steelers, love it. I'm sorry, what were you saying?
Nothing. I was just going to say more about, I think the Bills are going to smoke the Titans.
Yeah, probably. Ravens, Steelers, I want to see what the if the Ravens trounce them or not. Because if they don't, they're not real.
Steelers look good on Monday night.
I like the Falcons, Texans. I even like that game for some reason. Buccaneers, Saints, think that's a great game.
Ooh, Bucks Saints would be really fun. Yeah.
Vikings, Giants, not bad. I want to see what happens there. Bears, Raiders. I love it. Bears, Raiders. That's a great game.
That is a great game. Chase Daniel getting the start for the Bears. Gruden coming in on a home game after a big win, looking for a winning record.
Then to round it out, Packers, Cowboys, great game.
And followed by Indianapolis going into Kansas City.
Also love that game. And then Monday night, you have Browns and 49ers.
Dude.
Both of them fucking that are just, you know, way overrated. Who can win?
Niners are 3-0, one of the three remaining undefeated. All three primetime games are great. Thursday, Sunday, Monday. We got great stuff. The Green Bay-Dallas game is going to be national. It's going to be the only other 4 o'clock game is Denver at Los Angeles Chargers.
Which that's is right. Be shown, all 1 o'clock games.
Yeah, that's going to be shown to like 16 households in L.A. So everybody's going to see the Packers and boys game.
That's great.
Got to lean towards the Packers on that one. I got to be honest.
I'm going Pack.
Yeah.
I'm going Pack. Oh, yeah.
Go Pack, go. Yeah. All right. We are 1 month into the season. We're at the quarter checkpoint. Patriots remain 4-0. The 16-0 seed is alive.
It's alive.
It's alive. We'll see if it can continue with a backup offensive line and a street kicker. But thank you all for listening, and we will be back next week to go over what happened in week 4 and look ahead to week 5.
Mm-hmm.
All right. See you later.
Adios.